Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P back here with you, continuing your afternoon chit-chat with you. 404-741-0929 is your Sports Talk telephone number in the A. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 92.9 The Game. Also on Twitter, you can tweet me at Willie P. Style. Pauly C is going to join us a little bit later on in the hour to talk a little Falcons. He, of course, the pregame voice of Falcons football right here on 92.9 The Game and the Falcons Radio Network as we count you down to Thursday's action as the Falcons take on the Jets. Pair of home games in front of you, the Atlanta fans, against the Jets and the Redskins before closing things out and the final week of play against Jacksonville. So this is obviously something that you look at and you say, from the Atlanta Braves perspective, as Foltynewicz threw 2 1/3 now, make it 2 2/3 as he flies, induces a flyout. He's settled down, which is encouraging. But I almost wonder if these last couple of games with the bullpen have almost caused everybody around them to press in a negative way. But from the hitters to the starting pitchers, anytime you see a bullpen go through what the Braves have gone through over the balance of this season, and particularly since the trade deadline, you've seen pitchers come out and press. You almost see that as well in football as well. If you see a situation where a defense is basically a sieve, that puts pressure on the offense to have to feel like it needs to score 50 points a game. There are plenty of marked examples of that, especially in college football. Think about the old Big 12. The old Big 12 had all those high-powered air raid offenses and absent-minded defenses that I'm sure if you were an offensive coordinator in that league, you had to be loving it. And if you were a defensive coordinator there, you basically felt like there was no way you could possibly win with your unit on the field. It was almost the opposite of how you would conventionally want to feel late in a game. You'd rather have the ball down at the end of a game versus trying to trust your defense to hold a lead. And a lot of those games came down to the team that had the football last. And I almost feel like that's how Braves fans feel about their bullpen right now. I think the Braves would rather be down in a game, especially if it was one at home, because this is a team that has won something like 18 to 19, 20 games in their final turn at bat, whether it's on the road or at home at SunTrust Park. And they have felt confident in their ability with their bats, which is the strength of the team. No one's disputing that. Even with the injuries to Markakis and Dansby Swanson, still plenty of firepower in this lineup to make the kind of run that is representative of the optimism that general manager Alex Anthopoulos had in this ball club. And one of the reasons why he made the moves he did at the trade deadline to try and make this bullpen look somewhat more whole. But it almost feels like you're reshuffling the chairs on the decks of the Titanic. It's not necessarily something where you got out and actually acquired somebody who's going to be a Rolaids AIDS relief man of the year. You're just not. There's not that guy available. You brought in guys who had good numbers like Shaden Green, but those numbers were hollowed out because the leverage that they performed those numbers in does not necessarily match the leverage that he would be asked to face when it comes to playing for this Braves team in a pennant race against the kind of competition that they're playing against. Whether it's playoff garnering teams like the Twins or familiarity like the Marlins and the Nationals and the Phillies and the Mets soon to come. So far be it for me to be the guy who says I told you so, because too much of what we've seen over the course of these last couple of weeks is that they're getting length out of their starting pitching. Folty could possibly settle down and turn in a representative requisite start. He still has the ability to give them a quality start. And regardless of what you see from the offense, you have to know what you're going to get from this offense, because, again, there'll be days where they'll score six. There'll be days where they score one. And when you get to the playoffs, there are more days where you score one versus six because the pitching turns up in the postseason. I'm sure if you're a Braves fan, you feel more comfortable down going into a ninth inning with your offense coming to bat than you do trying to hold a lead with your bullpen on the mound. And that is the biggest problem right now with the Atlanta Braves, is the Braves feel like an offense in the air raid era of the Big 12 in football. And unfortunately, there really was only one of those teams that won a championship in that era, and that was Vince Young's Texas Longhorn team in 2006. Because, again, those teams had a very, very hollow margin of victory, margin of error, because of the fact that they needed their offense to be on the field at the end of games, just like Vince Young's was against Southern Cal. Speaking of football, the Atlanta Falcons back in action Thursday against the New York Jets. We talked a little bit about the observations of mine, and I will delve into some of mine before we bring Paul Crane in to talk about that here in a couple minutes. I don't think the defense is as bad as the numbers from the scoring indicate. I don't like that Jake Rudolph was able to lead them on a touchdown drive there near the end, because I think Jake Rudolph is somebody who, quite honestly, shouldn't be in the league. But I also feel like you're starting to create the kind of depth that was lacking last year with this football team, especially on the defensive line. I really like that we've seen the maturation of guys like Kaminsky, Austin Larkin, guys of that nature. I loved Tack McKinley, the way that he stepped up early in the game, had a couple of big tackles behind the line of scrimmage, and I think he also had a sack. And also a guy like Chris Odom, who is developed also into a pretty darn good player, it seems. And a couple of the other secondary guys have started to kind of play themselves in. Hamp Cheevers dropped an interception. He ended up getting cut in the first round of cuts here near the end of this part of camp. So that part of it kind of makes me feel a little wary. And even a guy like a Parker Baldwin. He was a guy who started the game and very much kind of like Chris Lindstrom did on the offensive side of the football, looked the part. And he's basically going to have to play that role that was departed by J.J. Wilcox. And, you know, safety depth, obviously as a result of Wilcox's departure, is very much unsettled. Of course, he has the experience of working with KZ elsewhere and could be, I think, very, very useful and you know, somebody who might take snaps away in a good way from Keanu Neal because of the fact that Neal is still trying to recover from a major injury. And to the one point about, because we were talking earlier about Antonio Brown, and his lack of playing during the preseason. You know, I like that we haven't seen a lot of the Falcons regulars this preseason, because that's not what the preseason's all about. Preseason's all about trying to find guys who are on your team, who are on your 90-man summer roster, who can crack the 53. You know Matt Ryan's cracking the 53. You know Julio's cracking the 53. You know Austin Hooper's cracking the 53. But it needs to be something that is a proving ground for a guy like Chris Lindstrom, so that he can kind of have guys he can walk with in his journey in the National Football League. That's why I liked seeing Ty the way that we saw him in that game, kind of playing alongside him. And again, getting Chris used to at least having the same guy on his right side. I'm sure we'll see a little bit more of Alex Mack in the dress rehearsal preseason game coming up against the Redskins a week from Thursday. I don't know if we'll see more of him this week. Probably not going to see much of Matt Ryan at all. Hate to say it, Falcons fan. Maybe the fact that game is at home might give you a little bit more of a reason to maybe see him a series. But I want to see the continued steps with Matt Schaub as well, because I do believe that he made a very, very great stride in his return back to what I would call serviceability, because he didn't look good in the Hall of Fame game. Bankert looked the best in the Hall of Fame game. Of course, Bankert's now hurt. And Matt Sims did not look like somebody who was anything more than a placeholder, somebody who has an aptitude and knows the offense under Dirk Koetter, and somebody who at least can give you the requisite snaps while basically willing the job to Matt Schaub, and then having Bankert somewhere on the injured list and or practice squad by the time he gets back from that injured toe. Paul Crane joins us next. After his Haviland Express Lube Sports Flash, he will sit in for a segment to talk more about the Falcons' observations from this preseason, which is 2 games old. I'll ask him where his greatest encouragement comes from this football team and where his greatest concern comes in watching this football team as close as he has. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com, and the radio.com app. So that's the great thing about having an offense that resembles a Big 12 football team. You can have a three-run homer by Ender Inciarte and completely prove my point with regards to what the Braves are these days. They have taken the lead. We'll keep you updated on what's going on there. Taking you all the way up till kickoff of Atlanta United and NYCFC, which our pregame coverage starts a little bit more than an hour from now. Jason Longstreet will join us top of the next hour to get his inside preview there at the Benz, somebody who, of course, you hear on the pregame coverage of Atlanta Falcons football here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, is sitting to my right, Paul Crane. And Paul, as somebody who has watched this game from a variety of perspectives and obviously seen this Falcons team over the years, it's a different type of preseason, because I feel like Dan Quinn and the brain trust has taken a concerted effort in this preseason to really find out where their depth is, because that was a big problem last year, and they've almost kind of junked the formula that a lot of the teams use to try and get the other guys' feet wet. They know what certain guys are. I feel like the way that they're using this preseason is they need to figure out who on their 90-man roster can help them on Sundays.
Agreed, and I think obviously when you talk about the defensive side and what Dan Quinn has done, he has taken over the defense himself. He's now the coordinator. He's got 3 former head coaches working on the offense, so he still obviously pays close attention to that, but he doesn't have to do it the way he did his first few years here, because he's back in his comfort zone, and that's running the defense. And so when you talk about the depth, when you look at the defensive side, the team did not do some of the things fans wanted it to in the offseason to get to the quarterback, but there is increased depth and competition over there. But on the offensive side, I think 2 of the strongest position battles right now are at running back and wide receiver. To your point, the depth at those positions, because at the top, you already know who's there.
On the defensive side, I think that people were very excited after the Hall of Fame game with the kind of game that John Kaminsky had. I feel like Austin Larkin had a similar game on Thursday. He started to kind of come into his own. And even a guy like Odom, too. Like, those two guys, again, you struggle because of the fact that you saw how many points Miami put up, but those guys had flashes in the right moments.
No question. And when you're a young player like those you mentioned, Chris Odom got his name called a few times. Austin Larkin showed up on the first series right after Tack McKinley made it clear he was thrilled to get a chance to hit somebody other than a teammate in practice. And then later, Larkin got the big sack, and so he continued with his opportunities. John Kaminsky seemed to slow down a little bit in that Miami Heat, but he clearly has gotten attention and gotten more reps. I think at practice this week, the guy that's going to get more reps than he has at any point so far is Austin Larkin. It'll be interesting to see how much more we see of him this Thursday night when we expect to see some more of the starters. How long? Probably not very long. We saw Tack McKinley last week. We're waiting to see Vic Beasley and some others, but it'll be interesting to see how Kaminsky works inside again. But I think Chris Odom and Austin Larkin are two who have taken advantage of their limited opportunities thus far and caught the coach's eye.
It's odd, too, because there are other problem areas on this team, too, because the defensive backs, I think, got a lot of very, very due criticism put their way. A lot of it was not necessarily their fault because of the fact that, again, the depth numbers, they were down to their third safety last year. But even so, you have to make do with what you have, and I think that's why you've seen that almost look like very much a revolving door. We saw Ham Cheevers get cut the other day, and it just seems like so much of what they're trying to do is they're trying to find what works because not a lot did last year.
Well, injuries played a huge role last year, of course, with both Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal going down for most of the season. And I think this year you're going to see Devontae Kazee move back into a slot corner. He had to fill in at safety, and he tied for the league lead in interceptions with seven. But I think the team is very high on its two rookie corners, Kendall Sheffield and Justin Miller. And while you talk about some of the comeback and some of the points Miami scored, I think Sheffield, while he did have a key pass interference call, he also had a couple of big catches on him there in the second half by Preston Williams. But those were some great catches. Mm-hmm. The thing that Sheffield, he was there in coverage. He did not get beaten. Harry Douglas and I talked about this in the postgame show Thursday night. It's not like he got beaten or had any busted coverage. He just needs to turn around and get the ball. And that's part of one of the many differences between college and pro for a cornerback in particular is, one, you can't put your hands on a guy after 5 yards down the field, but you also can't face guard at all. You've got to turn and pick up the ball. And I think things might have been different for Sheffield had he turned around. And that's just part of the process here as we move through the preseason. It'd be a much bigger issue if we saw that in the regular season than we do right now because it's live and learn at this level. And you can't replicate game action in practice, no matter how much you try.
Paul Crane, of course, joining us here, Falcons pregame host here for Falcons football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Falcons Radio Network. I know I remember Preston Williams was at Tennessee, but I don't know if I remember him doing anything great. And of course, he transferred to Colorado State, had an amazing year, and is getting a flyer right now with Miami. That's the one thing that I would look at as a glaring thing, is saying they made that guy look incredibly good, and that's not something that's good for the Falcons.
Well, but again, it's not like Williams was wide open. It wasn't like Sheffield was beaten. There was that one great catch. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a fabulous catch. Yes. And sometimes you can just tip your hat to the opponent.
True.
But Sheffield might have not allowed that great catch again if he
better
had turned his head and picked up the football. He was right there stride for stride in coverage. So I think that's something that he's probably looked at and worked on this week. It'll be interesting to see what kind of an effort, who he goes against when the Jets come in here, because yes, we'll see Sam Darnold, but Trevor Siemian's been getting a lot of the snaps. We'll probably see more of him. So it's a seasoned veteran quarterback that he's going to get an opportunity to go up against and against some good receivers, so we'll see. One other defensive guy we should mention who's probably getting more snaps in practice is Jermaine Grace, who made some plays in the Hall of Fame game, had the big interception last week, and I think this is a guy that was on the practice squad a year ago. He wants to be on the final 53 this year, and he is forcing the coaches to pay attention to him even more.
You mentioned the crowded backfield, and you know, it's funny, we've very similarly to the defensive side of the football, seeing different flashes from guys at the running position. You know, last week it was Brian Hill, and even in the Miami game we saw Barner do well. We saw Allison get some real nice run, and even Ito Smith with the touchdown. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult. This is probably one of the most difficult decisions on the football team when it comes to who to keep. And obviously, they might look at Barner more just because of the special team stuff that he can bring to the table, but this is probably the toughest decision on this football team right now.
This is a real battle, and it's one that the Falcons wanted to have because even Dan Quinn last week had made the point, at running back, we've got Devontae Freeman and then everyone else. Mm-hmm. Now, Ito Smith is a known quantity here, and he's going to have several people have real butt-kicking camps to kick him off the roster.
Right.
But this team saw what would happen when it loses Devontae Freeman, as it did a year ago. The offense changes, even as great as the passing offense, but you need to have a running game. So Ito Smith stepped up a year ago. Tevin Coleman is gone now. You talked about Quadri Allison. He's the one big back in that bunch. Mm-hmm. All of them kind of are somewhat similar and smaller backs. So Quadri Allison, the kid from Pittsburgh who had a very good game last week, especially compared to his pedestrian numbers the week before, but he talked about how it's slowing down for him. The holes don't open like they do in college. You've got to hit that hole, and he's the one big guy that can move the chains. We saw that a couple of times, so I think he's in a very good position to make the final 53. You talked about Kenyon Barner. I think special teams would be his only route to the final 53, considering, but he's going to have a fight with Marcus Green, mm-hmm. and Olamide Zaccheaus, who's fighting for one of those wide receiver spots. Brian Hill has started to separate himself. So when you look at the four, maybe three or four spots behind Devontae Freeman, you've got Brian Hill, Quadri Allison, Marcus Green, Kenyon Barner, and Tony Brooks-James with Ito Smith fighting for those. Not all those guys are going to make it, obviously. So special teams could become a difference maker, especially for Barner and Green.
Uh-huh. And on the offensive line, I know that people have made a lot of comments about the jockeying around there and obviously having to kind of break glass in case of emergency with McGarry going down. I really think Chris Lindstrom's looked the part, and I know that there'll probably be some sort of rookie wall that he hits and might be a rude awakening come week one, but I think he's passed every test so far.
I think you're spot on that. He's everything. He's living up to all the billing. We talked about it here on 92.9 in our draft day special, our pre-draft and post-draft. This is the best pure guard in the draft. He is proving it. You're sliding him in to right guard, and he is there. The problem's going to be at right tackle. You had Jamon Brown and James Carpenter in a battle on the other side at guard, but Carpenter's been hurt, so Brown has had to move around to both sides. It's not as easy as some people might think when you go from one side of the line to the other. Everything's opposite.
Right.
It really is a dramatic move, but the guys that are able to play both sides are really special, but as you said, with Caleb McGarry going down with a heart issue, it's scary to even think about trying to push him too hard. But I was out at practice last week. On the Wednesday before, doctors were in his heart. Mm. And on Monday, he was out there, not practicing, but walking around. And goodness gracious, modern medicine is amazing. And he's been through this before. But again, you got to be careful how fast you push it. And he's missing valuable reps right now, because that's the one area in the team. All five of those guys in the offensive line need to be in sync.
There's one more guy I want to focus on real quick with Paul Crane here joining us here on 92.9 The Game. I don't think he was ever a danger to miss making the roster, but I'm really impressed with how Russell Gage has transformed his game. He looks like a different player.
He certainly has. He is going up and getting it. He's making the plays. We saw him take advantage of his opportunities each of the last 2 weeks. Those of us that have been able to watch practice see it there as well. This is a guy, when you look at the top of the wide receiver slot, we all know Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley. That's the top three. There are two other spots. Justin Hardy has made this team in no small part due to his special teams play, but special teams has been an issue. So what does that say about his special teams play?
Right.
Russell Gage, Christian Blake, Olamide Zaccheaus are also in the mix for what would be two spots, really, at the most.
You can hear Paul along with Harry Douglas on the pregame show for every Falcons broadcast here on 99 The Game. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
We will continue down a level, talk a little college football, a little bit of observations from the Georgia camp, and also a couple of key injuries for Alabama could possibly affect them in the offing. We'll be here with you. 404-741-0929. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Who needs J.J. Holloman when you have George Pickens? Please tell me you've seen this video. Please tell me you've seen this video from George's first scrimmage yesterday inside Sanford Stadium. If you haven't seen it, it is on my Twitter. I quote tweeted somebody else's video of it at Willie P Style on Twitter. Might have the guys here, 92.9 The Game, on their Twitter also retweet it, because George Pickens made a play that would make OBJ go nuts. He caught a pass between two defenders with one hand going up over one of the defenders, cutting behind the other against the sideline, palming the ball at its apex, coming down with it, and getting in bounds. I mean, and I believe this was on a throw from Jake Fromm. I have to see again from the GIF perspective whether this was actually a Fromm throw, but this is obviously something that stands to reason why they are very, very high on this young man. Actually, no, it was Stetson Bennett who threw it. Pardon me, but Stetson Bennett made that throw. But again, that is an amazing catch in any league, college, pro, otherwise. I mean, you have to see it. It's on my Twitter at Willie P Style, and it's also part of this feeling among those inside the Georgia locker room and inside Kirby Smart's brain trust that has them thinking they're going to be just fine because they have talent like this. And again, not to completely blow up a guy like Pickens, but he was obviously somebody who came in very, very highly regarded, basically 20th at the position coming out of college. And you have other guys on that roster like Robertson and Landers, even a guy like Akiaris Jackson, redshirt freshman, having himself obviously a situation. And Landers, of course, the grad transfer. Lawrence Cager as well. You know, I look at Georgia, and the more and more I think about them, and I talked about this earlier with Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com. If you missed that, it was in hour number two that you could find on 99thegame.com and the radio.com app. This represents a window for them that they need to capitalize on, because anytime you get a quarterback with as much experience on his back as Jake Fromm does, it means that the next year you better have somebody who looks similar to a Trevor Lawrence or a Tua Tagovailoa type in the offing, or you're going to be in trouble when it comes to trying to reload for the next set of circumstances that you have coming up. Now, people like Stetson Bennett, people like what's in the offing in the recruiting pipeline for Georgia, especially in 2020, and it stands to reason again is something that you look at and you say, okay, maybe Carson Beck is a guy who you look at and say could be the future at this position. Guy who is a pro-style quarterback commit, of course, out of Jacksonville, Florida. Mandarin High School. I personally think that if you're going to do anything right now, it's probably going to have to be Bennett unless Beck just blows him away. And again, he fits that pro-style mode that they're looking for. Somebody, of course, who's got offers from all over the place, including Bama and Florida. And they already have, you know, three currently on the roster. But I do believe that Georgia sits in a unique position where they have to make it happen this year, or else people are going to wonder, okay, is this inferiority to Alabama something that can't be surmounted? You got Kirby Smart to beat Alabama. That's the thing. This is why you got this guy. You plucked him from Alabama because you think he could beat Bama. And while everyone's looking at Alabama Clemson as the fifth, rendition of this particular rivalry, I think that the more intriguing one to me is Alabama-Georgia, because I don't think Georgia gets enough credit nationally because of the fact that they have not been able to get past Alabama. I think they're on the same level as Clemson and Alabama are, but the fact that they basically have a de facto semifinal in the or semifinal level game in the SEC championship with Alabama every year, ended up getting past the SEC championship without having to see Alabama a couple of years ago, ended up getting matched up against them in the college football final, the game, of course, that gave us the first instance of seeing Tua Tagovailoa. And the two games that they've played, they've had a lead and not been able to hold it. I think the defense better equipped now to make that happen. It's just a matter of, can they play the right balance with this offense? They are a throwback type team that wants to run the football. DeAndre Swift is probably going to be an All-American. Zamir White is somebody who has sky-is-the-limit potential. They also love Harry, and they also love Cook. But what are you looking for if you are the Georgia Bulldogs when it comes to trying to find yourselves in a situation against an Alabama team that continues to kind of have your number? And because of this whole scenario, I wonder where the patience of Georgia fans is. I almost look at it the same way I look at Texas A&M. Not necessarily that Kirby Smart shouldn't have taken the job, because this was probably the best job he was going to get. And that's not necessarily a slight to Georgia at all. But when you're in a conference that's so heavily defined by one school, and the ACC falls victim to this as well, but when you're in a conference that's so heavily defined by one school and that school's success, and you are not that school, people on the inside are going to start questioning you. And I'm not saying that it's already happened, but if you don't get past them this year, there's a wonder about whether or not you ever are going to. And even if it's a situation where Saban retires and he never beats him head-to-head, then anything that happens from then on out might be devalued, even if they win a national championship. But I do think, because of this, as Georgia continues to develop, they're recruiting at a different level. Kirby has transformed that program. People who chant 1980 George Georgia fans won't be chanting for very much longer, because I do think that there is a future at this program that is very, very sustainable and possibly part of a growing trend towards putting them and keeping them at the elite of college football. But they have to get past Bama. It has to happen, and it has to happen this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, I don't know when it happens while Saban's there. This is the year for it to happen. And that would set up, honestly, if we got Bama, Clemson in a semifinal, and then got Clemson, Georgia in a final, or even Clemson, Georgia in a semifinal, that's the matchup I want to see. I want to see Clemson, Georgia, because I think that would be a ton of fun with those two offenses. 404-741-0929. I had the story in the show earlier, but we didn't get to it because we were backed up on phone calls. A college football player in our state was wrongfully accused of something very nefarious, and he's finally been vindicated, and I'll explain to you that very weird story coming out of the south part of our state. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.